How important is food to you? For the melodramatic Pierre Arton, the main character of Muriel Barbery's novel The Gourmet, food is everything. As France's greatest food critic, he's pursued and devoured the world's finest dishes. But now, with only 48 hours to live, he's obsessed with rediscovering a flavour from his past, the most delicious food to ever pass his lips. Desperate to taste it one more time, he looks back over the years to see if he can pin down the elusive dish. The Gourmet is Muriel Barbery's first novel and was originally published in 2000 when it won France's top book award for food writing. It's now been translated into English for the first time in the wake of the success of her second novel, The Elegance of the Hedgehog. Today, Muriel Barbery lives in Kyoto, Japan, with her husband, and it's from there, on a bit of a scratchy telephone line, that she's speaking to the book show's Rhiannon Brown. But first, let's hear a reading from The Gourmet.
Not one of them will ever have as fine a nose as Aunt Marthe, because the old nag was a nose, a true one, a great one, a huge nose, who didn't know she was a nose, but whose unprecedented sensitivity would never have suffered from competition had there been any. Thus, this coarse, almost illiterate woman, this piece of human scum, casting her rotten, foul stench onto everyone around her, had created a garden fragrant with paradise. Through a knowing tangle of wild flowers, honeysuckle and old rose whose faded hue had been carefully preserved, a vegetable garden scattered with brilliant peonies and blue sage proudly displayed the most beautiful lettuce leaves in the region, cascades of petunias, groves of lavender, a few steadfast box trees, ancestral wisteria along the front wall of the house. From this well-orchestrated jumble emanated the best of her being, that neither dirt nor fetid exhalations nor the sordid aspect of a life devoted to vacuousness could manage to enshroud. How many old women in the countryside are gifted in this way with an extraordinary sensory intuition, which they apply to their gardening or to making herbal potions or to cooking rabbit stew with thyme, old women who then die as unknown geniuses, their gift ignored by all. For most often we fail to see that something so seemingly trivial and inconsequential, a chaotic garden deep in the countryside, can belong with the most beautiful works of art. In this reverie of flowers and vegetables beneath my dust-brown feet, I crushed the dry, thick grass of the garden and became drunk on its fragrances.
That reading from Muriel Barbery's The Gourmet, in which the renowned food critic Pierre Artins is delving back into early, fragrant memories of his aunt's vegetable garden. Revealing far more than Pierre's love of great food, the narration of this larger-than-life and often brutal character, who seems to love nobody besides himself, alternates in the novel with the voices of those supposedly closest to him, his wife, his children, his lover, but even a cat, a homeless fellow, and a statue of Venus, which resides in his study. Muriel Barbery.
I must tell you first that it was absolutely not planned. I didn't know I was going to have some characters' voices, because at first I just wrote the chapters about food, and then my husband read them, and he suggested to add some other voices than the critic voice, and I thought it was a very good idea. So I invented many different voices, and then I put them between food chapters with no premeditation at all.
Okay, so it began with the food.
Of course, yes. It began with the last scene. I wrote it at first. I wrote the scene where big food critic discovers a savor, very important for him. And then after, I wrote the rest of the book.
And I guess what connects all these characters to Pierre is their relationship to him, to this man, who is actually quite unlikable. We could say a brutal man. Can you describe Pierre for us?
You said it, very brutal and egocentric, can I say it?
Yes.
A narcissistic man who is eliminated by his own passion for food, but who doesn't care about anything else, especially his wife, his children, and so on. So it's strange character for me, you know, because I didn't know I was going to take the voice of such a unpleasant man. But at the same time, it was very pleasant, just because it's so far from my own makeup.
At least he's tormented because he's on his deathbed, his heart is failing him, and as he's lying there on his deathbed, he starts to question his life. And this search for a lost and forgotten flavour, what does that elusive flavour represent to the dying food critic?
So it's a bit difficult to explain it without revealing the end of the novel. But it was very... I realized it afterwards, but it was a very easy way to address some subjects about not only food, but life in general and the meaning of life. And it's the story of a man who did had a lot of great experiences in his life, who became someone powerful, but at the end of his life, he's thinking that maybe he missed the essential, and that was the purpose, I think, of the novel.
I have held eternity under the skin of my words, and tomorrow I shall die. I shall die in 48 hours, unless I've been dying for 68 years, and it's only today that I've deigned to notice. Whatever the case may be, the sentence was handed down yesterday by my friend, the physician Jabro. Oh boy, you've got 48 hours. How ironic. After decades of nosh, deluges of wine and alcohol of every sort, after a life spent in butter, cream, rich sauces and oil in constant, knowingly orchestrated and meticulously cajoled excess, my trustiest right-hand men, Sir Liver and his associate Stomach, are doing marvellously well, and it is my heart that is giving out. I'm dying of heart failure. What a bitter pill to swallow. So often have I reproached others for a lack of heart in their cuisine, in their art, that never for a moment did I think that I might be the one lacking therein. This heart now betraying me so brutally with scarcely concealed disdain, so quickly has the blade been sharpened. Ziki, 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 la mort à cadence frappe une tombe avec son talon. La mort à minuit joue à l'aide danse, ziki, ziki, zik sur son violon. I am going to die, but that is of no importance. Since yesterday, since Chabreau, only one thing matters. I am going to die, and there is a flavour that has been teasing my taste buds and my heart, and I simply cannot recall it. I know that this particular flavour is the first and ultimate truth of my entire life, and that it holds the key to a heart that I have since silenced. I know that it is a flavour from childhood or adolescence, an original, marvellous dish that predates my vocation as a critic, before I had any desire or pretension to expound on my pleasure in eating. A forgotten flavour, lodged in my deepest self, and which has surfaced in the twilight of my life, as the only truth ever told or realized. I search and cannot find.
Muriel, The Gourmet deals with many of the same themes in your other novel, The Elegance of the Hedgehog. Social class, there's a lot of philosophy in there. Here you're writing about France and food, there's also Japan and food. And above all, there are these wonderful, sometimes ecstatic descriptions of all kinds of food and narrated by Pierre, the food critic, as he's going back over his memories of dishes in his life. And I was wondering how you attained that language to describe food, because it's not easy to talk about taste and the sensation of flavors and of eating.
But there is a very big connivance between words and flesh. And it was really not difficult, because I just had to remember my love for language. And what I love in language is its richness. The fact that language, French language, is very generous. And it's what I like in my own language. The multiplicity and infinite possibilities of the French language. So the register of food is a blessing, if you like words, because it's so rich, so generous, so sensual, so connected to the pleasure of saying, that it was sort of evidence. And it's what I like when I write, to play on own keyboard of the language. Food was very, very a very good theme for this.
Yeah, and I think because food is about so many senses, isn't it? It's it's about appearance, it's about touch, it's about smell.
And you just have to focus on your own sensations. It's just what I did. I just, I was very, I paid a lot of attention to what I was feeling when I was eating, and it was easy.
Sugar, water, fruit, pulp, liquid or solid. The raw tomato, devoured in the garden when freshly picked, is a horn of abundance of simple sensations, a radiating rush in one's mouth that brings with it every pleasure. The resistance of the skin, slightly taut, just enough, the luscious yield of the tissues, their seed-filled liqueur oozing to the corners of one's lips, and that one wipes away without any fear of staining one's fingers, this plump little globe unleashing a flood of nature inside us, a tomato, an adventure.
In the book you talk about food from France, from Brittany, from the northern part of France, also from Normandy. You talk about Moroccan food and also Japanese food. So I'm wondering where the autobiographical element to these food stories, if there is an autobiographical element there.
All sensations are mine. All food sensations are mine. I couldn't write about not authentic sensations on this matter. All characters are totally made up. But sensation, yes, it's what I feel when I'm eating all those dishes.
True sashimi is not so much bitten into as allowed to melt on the tongue. It calls for slow, supple chewing, not to bring about a change in the nature of the food, but merely to allow one to savour its airy, satiny texture. Yes, it is like a fabric. Sashimi is velvet dust, verging on silk, or a bit of both, and the extraordinary alchemy of its gossamer essence allows it to preserve a milky density unknown even by clouds.
Besides luscious descriptions, in her novel The Gourmet, Muriel Barbary shows us another side to food, that of the shark-infested Paris world of haute cuisine, and its food critics, who she portrays as pretentious and false, as high-flying phraseologists, as wolves. Is this Muriel's own first-hand experience of the high end of food?
Absolutely not, because when I wrote the novel, I couldn't afford such places. Absolutely not. I just tried to imagine. But I had another experience, and this experience was the experience of, I don't know how to translate in English, L'École Normale Supérieure, where I did my studies.
Yes, it's one of the top schools in France.
Yes. And there I learned what competition and the taste for power and all this quite frank sophistication was. So I just transposed from one world in another, and I know what I'm talking about.
Muriel Barbery, French author of The Gourmet, speaking to the book show's Rhiannon Brown. And The Gourmet is published by Peribo, P-E-R-I-B-O.